Almighty God, I come to you now, asking that the words that I speak this morning would not be mine, but they would be yours. Asking, O God, that those who hear and receive these words would receive them not only in their minds and in their hearts, but deep in their souls. Help us to understand this morning that Christmas is not dangerous in the sense that it's life-threatening, but it is dangerous when we think and we know that you have already said yes to us, and now it's our turn to say yes to you. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, so today's reading starts with the 26th verse in Luke, first chapter. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to her Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name Mary. And upon entering the home, Gabriel greeted her. Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will rule Jacob's house forever, no end even to his kingdom. And Mary said to the angel, But how? I've never slept with a man. And the angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest hover over you. And therefore the child you bring to birth will be called holy, and the Son of God. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and she is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing, you see, is impossible with God. I'll tell you what, this verse, there's so much in this reading that makes Christmas dangerous. It's perfect. I'm telling you what. This is why we have a war on Christmas that really, by the way, folks, since we're international at this point, I will say this. There is no war on Christmas. That's a made-up thing. And it's like your mother's fruitcake. It's being passed around at the holiday season for the last, I don't know how many years. Okay, there is no war on Christmas. There really isn't. Think about how stupid that actually is. But with that said, I need my reading. There's a fella, if you've been to our website and you followed on our website, you know that the theme for this Advent season has been the one solitary life. And part of the reason I picked that theme is because this one solitary life actually affected all of history up till now. It actually changed the way we do business. It changed the way a lot of folks think. And of course, that is another reason that Christmas is dangerous. So I want you to listen to this morning. It was written originally by Dr. James Allen Francis. He was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Los Angeles. So I want that going on the record that I'm quoting a Baptist.
Yay.
Oh, sorry.
Here's a man. Huh?
A recovering Baptist.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
Listen now. Here's a man who was born in an obscure village. the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. And then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place that he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompanies greatness. He had no credentials but himself. And while a still young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. And while he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property that he had on this earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in the borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 long centuries have come and gone. And today, he is a centerpiece of the human race and a leader of the column of progress. I am far within my mark when I say that of all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of humanity upon this earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. Now, you know, we could sit here, if you were really listening closely, and go, wait a minute, I could relate to this. I was born in some of an obscure village. We just have a different definition in the United States, don't we?
Small towns.
We call them towns. We call it the back 40. And many of us come from homes that have broken marriages. Many of us, if we're not experiencing homelessness, we are certainly a day or two away from it, depending on our income. So the first thing I want to say to you today is what makes Christmas dangerous is whatever challenge you are faced with, whatever it is that you think makes you not good enough, I'm here to tell you that's not true. If this dude did this because he was connected to God, what do you think we could do? Matter of fact, I remember a quote from Jesus at one point,
yep,
where he said, "These things I have done, you will do, and even greater things." You know, that makes Christmas dangerous because it means we can change the way we think. It means we can change the way we do business. When somebody says we can't feed the hungry, we can say no, that's our obligation. When somebody says that we're just enabling process to the homeless when we hand out hygiene kits, we can say no, we're doing the work of the gospel. When somebody you see is in need, it doesn't mean that you have to figure out the who, what, when, and where's, and the whys. If you can meet the need, you get to meet it. That's dangerous thinking, folks. And it becomes even more dangerous as we move on when we realize that life is indeed sacred. Now, you know, When I first started reading this, I thought, God, you know, here I go. I'm going to have this whole big conversation with the church about the virgin birth. Which is kind of a... I don't know how they came up with that phrase. A virgin can't give birth. Hello? Think about it. A virgin cannot give birth. So why we call it the virgin birth, I'll never know. That's number one. Well, actually, I do know, but that's another sermon.
Yeah, let's...
But the point is that this is incredibly controversial. But you know what the most important thing in that whole reading was? It wasn't the fact that how Mary got pregnant. It was the fact that Mary said yes. You know, there was a great play where this writer had the angel Gabriel come, and, you know, it was one of those, you know, really dramatic things. He comes with these big angel wings and all this kind of stuff, and he flies, and he's kind of hanging on to the edge of the roof as he's making this announcement to Mary. And you get this thought as you the writer put the thought in his head, and Gabriel was scared to death about giving this announcement to Mary. Even though we got it in Scripture as it's, you know, it's very calm, it's very cool. Hey, you found favor with God. Amen? How many of you, if you get a visit from an angel, are just going to sit there and take that? You know? I know at least three of you here would be running to your closet, closing the door.
Put a blanket over your head.
I know other people that just run the hell out of the house. Okay? So here's Mary sitting there calmly, and she begins to shake, and Gabriel says, don't be scared. But here in the movie, Gabriel's scared. And do you know what he was scared about? Was because what he was about to tell her, the very existence of humanity rested on her answer. Hey, folks, that makes Christmas dangerous. Because you see, there's nothing in Scripture that isn't there for our edification. And the little piece of edification that we get out of that is that the angel Gabriel comes to you every day through the trees, through different people, saying, behold, I've got good news for you. God loves you. And every day you get to do the same thing that Mary does. You get to say yes to God. So every time you come across somebody in need, oh yeah, here comes the pastoral, bend the elbow. Think about what you're saying if you say no. And yes, I know that we could talk all day long about all the excuses. I had somebody come up to me today and apologize to me because they didn't make an appointment. And they started to give me a bunch of reasons. Now, you know, some of you may think I'm cold-hearted, but I looked at them and I said, I don't want to hear excuses. When you have an appointment with the pastor, you show up. And they just kind of looked at me. And I said, if you had an appointment with the doctor, would you show up? Well, of course. They're going to charge you $50 if you don't show up. If you had an appointment to have some fun with somebody, I didn't say it like that, but you can just imagine. Would you show up? Of course you would. Then when you make an appointment with your pastor, why don't you show up? It's a matter of respect. It's a matter of integrity. This is what this story is about. It isn't about the virgin birth. It's about what makes our faith really dangerous. What is really dangerous for all of us is whether we take the opportunity to say yes to God. Because as soon as God has got our attention, as soon as God is looking at us and saying, by the way, you have nothing to fear, we've got to respond. We've got to respond, folks. And how do we respond? Do we walk away from those people that are hungry? Do we refuse drink to those that are thirsty? Do we say to hell with those people that haven't got enough clothes? Or do we make people in prison feel like the guy that I saw this week? Who called at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and said, "Pastor, I need you to come see me." Now, this is an individual I've given MARTA passes to. I've gone and given him $20 here and there, gave him prescription cards, all that kind of stuff. And so I immediately said to him, "You know, I'm out of MARTA cards." Because usually that's how he did. "Come see me. I'm out of MARTA cards, and I don't have any extra money." And he said, "No, Pastor, I'm in DeKalb County Jail. I need you to come see me." Now, I don't know how that call got through, folks. You understand what I'm saying? Because you can't make a jail call without it being collect. But that call got through to the church office. Somehow. So I went out to DeKalb County and I said, "What the hell are you doing here?" He was there on a violation of probation. You know? Didn't pay his fines. But all of a sudden, folks, everything became clear to me why this man, every time I turned around, was looking for money. Why he was out there in the community, always what we call a high roller. He was always had some scam, something going on. You know, if he wasn't selling condoms, he was selling those little blue pills to people. If he wasn't doing that, he was doing something else. Because he was trying to raise the money to pay his probation. And he was too embarrassed. If I'd have just said this is another guy in jail, he'd still be sitting there. The miracle in that story is that I know an attorney who knows the judge in this case, and they got him out. I don't know how that happened. But do you understand why Christmas is dangerous? It's dangerous. Not because you got to buy presents for your family. It's dangerous because it calls us to care. It calls us to give a damn. In a world that really doesn't care. Now, I have one joke for you, which is no longer appropriate. Because of the way the sermon went. Oh. I'll save it for... Well, it's an illustration. I'll save it for another time. But I will give you this. Because when I read this, I said, if this isn't what Christmas miracles... we all see all the TV shows about Christmas miracles, right? Mm-hmm. Miracle on 34th Street was a Christmas miracle. And I got to tell you, this guy calling me from jail... Knowing full well that I would now know everything about him that he didn't want me to know. That was a miracle. That was God. The fact that that call got through the church and it not being collect was a Christmas miracle. Here's another one. Under a cultural exchange program, Alan M. Bransky and his family in Roanoke, Texas... were host to a rabbi from Russia at Christmas time, and they decided to introduce him to a culinary treat that is probably not available in his country. They took him to their favorite Chinese restaurant. And throughout the meal, the rabbi spoke excitedly about the wonders of North America in comparison to the bleak conditions in his homeland. And when he had finished eating, the waiter brought the check and presented each of them with a small brass Christmas tree ornament as a seasonal gift. They all laughed when Ambransky's father pointed out that the ornament was stamped, "Made in India." But the laughter subsided. Now listen closely, folks. The laughter subsided when they saw the rabbi was quietly crying. Concerned, then Ambransky's father asked the rabbi if he was offended because he had been given a Christian holiday gift. The rabbi shook his head and said, "Nyet." I was shedding tears of joy to be in a wonderful country in which a Buddhist gives a Jew a Christmas present made by a Hindu. That, my friends, is what makes Christmas dangerous. And you today can be the author of that danger. God bless you.